branches that don't bear fruit, I believe, refer to Christians or people who appear to be Christians, but they're not genuine disciples. These branches don't bear fruit. And the reason they don't bear fruit is because they're not truly connected to the vine. And you say, well, hold on, wait a minute, look at the text. The text says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That sounds pretty connected to me. So what's the deal? You have a lot of people who will make a big stink about this verse and quote it as proof that Christians can lose their salvation or fall away from the faith. But I think that's going too far. One, because in light of the whole teaching of Scripture, and two, I think it's a misinterpretation of what's being said here. You don't want to press the details of this image too far. And you don't want to make an argument based on one wrong interpretation of one verse to the exclusion of the rest of the Scriptures. Bear in mind, the same Jesus who speaks these words here says a little bit earlier in John chapter 6, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And listen to this. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. Jesus keeps all those who come to him in repentance and faith. He loses none of them. The list goes on and on and on of verses like this in the Scriptures. The text doesn't teach that believers can fall away from the faith or lose their salvation. These fruitless branches don't bear fruit because they're not connected to the vine, because the life that flows through the vine is not flowing through them. They were never really truly attached to the vine. You can imagine what Jesus' disciples are thinking about when he says this stuff. They're probably thinking to themselves about all the people who took up following Jesus at one point only to wander away at some other point. Perhaps even they're thinking about Judas. I mean, here's a guy who, by all appearances, looked like a Christian. He was there with them, close. And that he proved that he wasn't ever really connected to the vine. Why? What does he do? He betrays Jesus. And so proving he was never really a genuine disciple. I think this is pretty clear. Like, these branches that don't bear fruit are people who profess to be Christians, play the role of a Christian, but aren't really. In contrast to these branches that get cut off, Jesus speaks of branches that bear fruit. These are his disciples, I believe, people who genuinely follow him, who are genuinely united to him. They bear fruit because they're actually connected to the life that's in the vine. Before we chase that out a little bit more, let's notice what the role of the vine dresser is in relation to these fruit-bearing vines. What does he do? These fruit-bearing branches, rather. What does he do? He prunes them. So there's some cutting going on here, but it's a different kind of cutting. They don't get cut off, but they do get pruned. And what's the purpose of this pruning? Why does he do it? I hear low mumbles, but I'm not sure what. Yeah, so that they bear more fruit. And this is a picture of God the Father's love and discipline for his children, for those who genuinely belong to him. Now, I don't know a whole lot about pruning and gardening and that sort of stuff, and I proved that on last summer when I tried to grow some tomatoes. I tried to grow tomatoes and zucchini, and it was terrible. I got a couple of good tomatoes and a zucchini here and there, but on the whole, my plants look pretty terrible. In fact, Odette pointed that out to me one time. We're sitting in the backyard at the Bikaris, and I'm just enjoying it, and Odette says to me with a smile on her face, "You're not a farmer, are you?" And I was like, is it that obvious? So I don't have a whole lot of knowledge about that kind of stuff. Her husband, on the other hand, now there's a man who can school you on how to prune stuff. So should get some information from him. But so I don't know a whole lot about pruning and gardening, but I do understand this much. In our text this morning, the Father prunes the fruit-bearing branches. Why? So that they can bear more fruit. I get that. I understand that. I know how that works. This is a picture of the Father's love for true disciples, his discipline even for true disciples. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read that the Lord disciplines the ones that he loves. And this discipline has as its goal growth in godliness. So it's painful and not always pleasant, but the end result is good. The motive behind it is good. Part of being a true disciple of Christ involves enduring hardship and difficulty. And as I mentioned, it's not easy. It's not fun. It's rough. It's downright miserable sometimes. But we can rejoice when we are pruned, when we endure hardships. Why? Because it's then that we know that God the Father is treating us as sons, not illegitimate children. He's treating us as those who genuinely belong to him. He prunes those who belong to him. And he does that, why? So we can bear more fruit. And it occurred to me last night as I'm, you know, mulling all this stuff over in my head, here I am, Captain Observation. There's not a single branch in this story that goes untouched. There's no branch that doesn't have something done to it. And so the question naturally arises in my mind, like, where do you fit in? Are you one of these ones that gets chopped off? Or do you abide in Christ? Are you bearing fruit? Are you attached to the life that's in the vine, who is Christ? Think about that. Jesus makes it very clear that there are two things that characterize those who are truly his disciples. Two things, two evidences we see from this text. You can know that you are truly a disciple of Jesus. One, no, I'm going to have y'all tell me. What's the first one? Just very simply. Before that, in order to bear fruit, you have to do what? Say again? You have to abide in Christ, okay? So those are the two. That's where we're going. Abide in Christ and bear fruit. Okay, the way that you can identify a true disciple of Christ is, first of all, the fact that he or she is going to abide in Christ. Look at what Jesus says in verse 4. Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." True disciples are those who abide in Christ. And Jesus uses this word a lot in this little section. In verses 1 to 17, I counted 11 times, I think, that Jesus uses this word, abide. So it's probably a good idea to know what he means when he says that. What is he talking about when he uses this word, abide? What Jesus is saying is that a true disciple, someone who is genuinely a disciple of Christ, must live a life of total dependence on him, constant dependence on the fact that he is the vine from which you draw life. To abide in Christ is the only way, the only hope that we have for spiritual life, and the only hope that we have to bear fruit that pleases God. There's a lot of people going around who have loose connections with Jesus. I read one commentator who said, To abide in Christ is to have a vital connection with the vine, to have a life-giving connection with the vine. There's a lot of people who are loosely connected with Christ, loosely affiliated with him. They're not connected to him in any life-giving way. There's people who know of Christ and are familiar with Christ, but they don't know him in a way that produces life. When we abide in Christ, or rather, let me say it this way, we abide in Christ as we are united to him by faith. Notice what Jesus says in verse 5 at the end there. He says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Part of what it means to abide in Christ is to recognize your utter dependence on Christ for everything. Yes, for salvation from sin and for everything else, for that matter. True disciples are those who abide in Christ. Now, let's look at this. I'm not sure how clear that is. If there's questions, feel free to jot those down, and we'll try to address them at the end. But the second mark that we see identified as being a mark of a genuine disciple is fruitfulness, or bearing fruit. Disciples bear fruit, which makes sense, right? Remember, Jesus is the true vine, in contrast to Israel, the fruitless vine. Jesus is faithful and fruitful, and so it makes sense that those who are connected to him are going to bear fruit. In fact, the only reason that Jesus' disciples bear any kind of fruit at all is because they are united to him. If you are truly connected to Christ, you will bear fruit. It's going to happen. A fellow by the name of Don Carson, in his commentary on this passage, wrote these words. He says, "There are no true Christians without some measure of fruit." So some Christians have a little bit of fruit. Some Christians have a whole bunch of fruit. And, you know, maybe if you compare your fruit to the next man's, he's got more than you. But the issue is, if you're a Christian, you will bear fruit. There's no such thing as a Christian who does not bear fruit, okay? So I'm throwing this fruit stuff around. What are we talking about? It's probably a good idea to know what we're referring to when we're talking about fruit. There's a whole lot that could be said about this, much more than what we have time to cover, but I'll just say a few things. I think that to bear fruit as a Christian means to live a life that is marked by such things as repentance and faith. Not just I repent and place my faith in Christ at conversion, but your whole life is marked by that sort of thing. Do you repent over your sin? Is there brokenness over your sin? Are you persevering in the faith? And then there's the fruit of the Spirit, which I can never remember, so I'm going to read it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For the true believer, the true disciple of Christ, these things will be both present in their lives and growing in some measure. There's no such thing as a Christian whose life isn't marked by these sorts of things in some degree. So again, I would have you consider, or let me ask you rather, as you sit where you are, do you have a vital connection with the vine? Do you have a life-giving connection to Jesus Christ? Or are you just kind of loosely associated with him? You know things about him, think he's a neat guy, you like to show up at functions where other people talk about him, but other than that, like, that's the extent of it. Is that you, or are you connected to him in a way that gives life? Do you recognize how utterly dependent you are on him? Is your life marked by the kinds of fruit that we just read? If the answer to any of those questions is no, then you have no reason to believe that you are a disciple of Christ. But if you can answer yes to those questions from the heart, brother, sister, rejoice. You are connected to the true vine. You are a branch, a genuine disciple of Christ. And Jesus' disciples are branches. And what they do, they abide in him and they bear much fruit.